Silva, you absolutely suck.
Ireland, baby, we did it. Yeah. Welcome along to Obviously Fight Talk, episode 45. Let's get the shout-outs out of the way straight away to our sponsors, Fight Star Ireland, for all your fighter needs in one place. Be it shin pads or testicle holders, Fight Star Ireland have you covered. The fighter's choice. MMA Mix, for all your MMA needs. They have UFC, BAM, and Bellator. They're obviously good. Because they're with, obviously, Fight Talk.
I love Deonna.
So I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Hashtag Win Decision, Mr. Robert Pallin.
Hello.
The best in the business, the gentleman, Mr. Daniel Mulvihedy.
How we doing, gents?
And tonight we have a new face and voice to the podcast. He is an interviewer and a writer for Fight Star Media. And now, realizing and living one of his dreams, is joining the Obviously Fight Talk team. So welcome to the show, Mr. Alistair McGee.
I'm finally here. Thanks for having me.
He was meant to be here last week, but he had a cold and he couldn't come on.
man flu.
So this is a shout out to big crazy Carl Doran as well. Obviously, Carl's got a lot of people who love listening. Carl is just taking a little step back from the show. He has a few business things to attend to. That sounds like I'm saying Carl's a drug dealer and he's locked up. He's not. He's just very busy this time of the year. So Carl's taking a little step back. But as always, Carl will be back. So we do miss you, Big Daddy. So the rundown for this week, as always, you'll have your obviously Fight Talk quick fire news. We're going to talk about UFC 206. We're going to have a little bit of a Bamator, Bellama, whatever you want to call it.
Some standout fights.
Then we have Dana White was on UFC Unfiltered today, and he tore some arseholes for some people. He literally got stuck into a lot of people in a short space of time. We have a weekly list. We're going to call it the must-happen rematches. So basically, fights that have happened that we want to see happen again. And then Rob's going to wrap it up. Dan, you're not here. We're for all. So I'll be going head-to-head with Alistair tonight with the MMA Facts or Fiction.
Nice.
So Dan, you're going to be short and sweet with us this week. You have prior engagements. So we're going to bait into the quick fire news. So Rob, you get your clock ready.
Yep.
So Matt Hughes and Chuck Liddell have been released by the new owners WMEIMG along with up to 15 other UFC employees. Both have been working with the UFC since retiring. The two UFC legends had been working as, in Liddell's case, the executive vice president of business development, and Hughes was the vice president of athlete development. So again, this is the new company coming in and letting people go. What do we think of this? Are people making more of it than it actually is?
I'll go first on this one.
Go on, yeah.
Rob, I think you said it in one of the conversations we put up on Facebook or Twitter. It's not much, especially Matt Hughes. You know, is it a loss? Not really. I didn't even know exactly what their job roles were, either of them. You know, apart from obviously Liddell, got the coaching again on the Ultimate Fighter, obviously the Latin season. He got with Forrest Griffin, he was coaching on there again. But again, it's the new owners, the new people are here. You know, if they're saving money, and then they can do it by, maybe they just see it as a waste of money paying two ex-fighters doing a job that doesn't really need doing, or it's you know they've had their usage now and time to move on.
Yeah, Dana White, we were going to talk about a little bit later, but he was on that talking, what's it called? Talking Fight or something?
Unfiltered.
Unfiltered, yeah. And he spoke a little bit about it for a couple of seconds, and he was just saying that it was more of his kind of his guys. It wasn't really a big position for the two people, but it was just kind of his guys. But I think it does for the hardcore fans. It kind of would put a bad taste in their mouth. The new company coming in, getting rid of the legends. But as an actual business move, it's not that surprising. It was always going to happen.
You can see why a lot of people was disappointed with it, but in every business, executives get fired all the time. So when the new owners come in, they want to put in different people in those positions. That'd be my take.
I'd be the exact same there with Ollie. Is really, it's like Dana was sort of saying, he gave Matt and Chuck the jobs more so because they were his mates. Do you know what I mean? And he was like, for what yous have done for us in the UFC, you'll always get a paycheck off me unless I die or something happens with the company. That's when that day will come, and that day has come. So the checks have stopped. The only thing I remember from Chuck Liddell doing in his role was, remember he done an ad where he was in an office and he just kept crunching things up and throwing them in his bin and stuff like that.
That was kind of funny. That wasn't bad. The other thing, yeah, it's gone. Forgot it. Go.
Good work, Rob. Yeah. Well done. Yeah.
One job.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep an eye on the time and I completely forgot what I was going to say. It'll come back.
And women say we can't multitask. Well, yeah, look, if the 15 other people lost their jobs, you know what I mean? And it's, again, it's a high profile where they're obviously talking about it because it's Chuck Liddell and Matt Hughes, but not a surprise, really. I think we can even stick to Tree Beller on that. I don't think we're going to need too much time. You hit refresh there. I'll start the next one. So he spoke out. Conor McGregor has finally had a say regarding being stripped of the featherweight title. And it's easy to say he's relinquished it. He's not relinquished it. He's basically quoted saying, the UFC are trying to strip me. And I was like, well, I ain't stripped. I still got that belt. That belt is still at home right now. I still have the two-way world champion. Someone has to come and take it from me. I see articles. I see stuff online. But I don't see that belt, not in my presence. The belt is right there. There's two world titles at my home. He was also pictured with the two belts getting onto a private jet. So I'd imagine it's Toronto bound. But McGregor, he's basically saying no one relinquished that. And there was a big Q&A where he was like, no one stripped me or at him. So what's your thoughts on what Conor's finally said apart from getting his car valeted?
It's very interesting. I think it was Brendan Schaub who said that he isn't going to be against the I think this again improves it. It's just like, what's going to happen when they're negotiating the next?
It's breaking up.
Yeah, Rob, you're brutal, man.
One job.
That elephant in the room still there. I don't. Brutal.
Is Rob still talking? Rob?
Yeah, he's still going. That was a great point, Rob. Well made. I'm sure your dog will think it was fantastic. We lost you there, so go again. Fire away. See if you can.
No, go. I'll come back to it.
But
can you still hear me?
Yeah. So go ahead, yeah. Dan or Alistair. Go on, jump in there.
Go on, Alistair. Go.
Well, obviously, I think he's not going to give up those bets easy. Like, he's never going to let anybody take those bets off him. And as long as he still has them in his possession, he's always going to think he's the champion. And as the UFC want to make it look like Aldo's the champion, but I think deep down, everybody's going to be like, yeah, you can't have somebody who's knocked out in 13 seconds as champion. I think what has to happen is if they fight for the title holder will have to fight him again. And that will solve the problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think we had this conversation last week, Alistair, on this show regarding, you know, how can someone be a champ, but, you know, who he's knocked out. And Conor will always go around saying, look, you didn't beat the champ. Look, you got to give me an extra 10 seconds, all right? You didn't beat the champ. But there's nothing stopping the UFC. It's good enough, Conor going, yeah, no one's going to come and take this belt. Look, UFC is just going to make another belt. He can keep that belt as his replica belt, so to speak, on his shelf. It's what's written down on the paper. And if that's the decision UFC want to make, that's what's going to happen. And we knew that Conor's still going to walk around with two belts, even if it's a year that he's, you know, he doesn't fight that way. He's still going to walk around with two belts, claiming that he's the champion, the real champion. So that's my say on it.
Yeah, I'm the exact same. Conor, we all knew he wasn't going to do it. We all said every press conference is going to turn up, but he is. He technically still is. As much as Aldo has been promoted to the champion, he hasn't fought for the belt, so he hasn't defended it. So to me, as Conor said himself, Eddie Alvarez is still unconscious. He's still getting up off the canvas from being knocked out. Do you know what I mean? Jose Aldo still has a bit of a twitch in his eye every time Conor McGregor's mentioned. He still tries to bob that shot, you know? But, Conor, as Dane actually said on Unfiltered as well today, he did say, no, he's still a two-time world champion. You know, we didn't go any, meeny, miny, well, which ones he relinquished. And he said, Conor did let go at 145. So it'd be interesting. I'm sure it'd be a bit of back and forth, but he is still the king of the two divisions, let's be honest.
been there. Am I? Can you hear me?
Yeah, beautifully. Yeah,
you can beautifully hear me. Okay. The most interesting thing I think would be negotiate the next fight. That's probably going to be one of the biggest stories of 2017 for the early part, because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be, you know, Conor's coming back, he's fighting this guy. It's going to, you know, it's going to be dragging on, get a new fight for him.
Yeah, definitely. You broke up a little bit, but we did get the gist of it. Your next one there, I don't know, Rob, I think you might have a different edition, but fuck it, I'm rolling with it. John Jones appeared on Joe Rogan podcast to speak about everything Bones Jones, including hitting runs and partying before fights. Rogan pushed right off the bat, Rogan was all over and questioned why John Jones ran from the car crash. Did we all get to listen to it? I know Rob didn't, so I've sort of hindered him in this one, but did you get to listen to John Jones and Rogan?
Yes.
I heard most of it. Didn't hear all of it.
I heard all of it. And my take on that was, I don't know what you feel now. I'm assuming you listened to all of it, right?
Yeah.
You know what? It comes across as a genuine nice guy. But at some parts, it was too much. It was like, do I believe what he's saying? The story he's saying, is he trying to cover his backside? Is, you know, whatever. I'm not sure if it was true or not, if his publicist was actually in that room when Joe Rogan kept on saying to him, you better check with your publicist. You know, he gave a story regarding the positive testing, you know, a dick pill, so he called it, you know, that had estrogen in it. But as far as it goes, he's staying positive. I'm looking forward for his comeback, and I'm definitely looking forward to the grappling match on Submission Underground this Sunday against Dan Anderson. But it wasn't personally for me listening to it, didn't come across genuine 100%, if you know what I mean. It was too much, I don't know, held back a little bit. He was a bit careful what to say and what not to say. That's the way I took it. So
yeah, I think as Dan said, he was very cautious. He didn't want to give too much away. What I took from it was I found the story of him going out partying before every fight, that was like madness, if you think about it. Yeah. And talked about it today on the podcast. He said he heard rumors, but he didn't know about it. And obviously it's true now. What other top athlete would do that and still put on performances he did?
That was a big rumor that was going around for a long time before it kind of came out, that he was always out and he was always was on antics. But I agree with Dan. I didn't see the thing, but it's strange to see an MMA fighter with a publicist at one of those interviews. But the only thing is, like, I would recommend him having one, because so far it's just been ridiculous the amount of antics he's got up to.
Yeah, my take on it, from what he was saying about the party, and my take on that was, he seems like a really insecure bloke, as in he was saying he wanted a party because if he lost, he'd blame it on that. So he seemed in a way insecure, and see the way he was saying to Joe Rogan, "Oh, no, I'll go back and I'll drink again in the future." Somebody who has a problem with drink will always have a problem with drink, the same way someone who becomes a heroin addict will always have an addiction to heroin. Or I'm not comparing the two, but you know what I mean? It is an addiction. He has an addictive personality. And like, by saying that, for me, that makes me think he hasn't fully accepted his demons. And one thing I remember, he went on the big, long, beautiful walk with Ariel Helwani, and it was almost identical to this. He's done it before, and I just think he's saying the right things on the right podcast, at the right format, to the right people. And if I believe it or not, you'd like to believe it, embrace the arsehole, embrace the heel, and become John Jones, the fucking arsehole, and just be a badass beating the shit out of everyone in the cage, because he's the best at light heavyweight and possibly heavyweight if he did go up there.
Yeah, that's true. And I
So tough finale results, and standouts from this. I didn't really get to see much of it, I'm not going to lie. Very busy weekend. But DJ was pushed by Tim Elliott in the first, but shows why many consider him as their pound-for-pound mixed martial artist, winning all four remaining rounds. Elliott post-fight has commented that he may go up in a weight class due to the hard cut and almost missing weight. So what did we think of DJ? He got a scare. I think everyone thought he was just going to go all in and do what he wanted when he wanted in this fight. But the first round looked like it was a big issue.
Yeah. Big time. It was a great performance by Elliot. Elliot's very underrated. Like, when he was in the UFC, his first fight against John Dodson was actually quite close. John Dodson just came off the tough show, and he looked really good. So I thought that Elliot could do some things in there, but I didn't think he'd be able to put up the fight that he did. In the end, it was, you know, not smooth sailing, but it was a dominant performance by Mighty Mouse, but very good performance by Elliot. His stock definitely goes up.
I think that's what that division needed. It needed somebody to come in and give him a scare and try and put him on the back ropes. But fair play to Elliot. He didn't get the result in the end. But I think Demetrius definitely got tested anyway.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I know the result, but I haven't watched the actual full fight. But from what I was reading, the play-by-play on Sherdog, yeah, like you said, it gave Demetrius a test. Hopefully, you know, even though he won, he'll go back and knowing how he reacts to, you know, if someone's put him on in a difficult situation, he'll go and work on that. And it was a bit of a weird one, wasn't it? Because he didn't know who he was fighting, really. And it was just the weird format of someone setting someone up too far. Maybe he did take him a little bit lightly and was like, actually, shit, I better get my shit together after this first round and start working my proper game plan, or, you know, so...
And then everyone screaming about the co-main of the evening was obviously the two tough coaches squaring off. A lot of people thought the decision might have went the wrong way. I know there was a point deduction as well, which swung a lot of people's opinions on it. So what's your thought on the co-main?
I think that I don't completely disagree with the decision. I have to re-watch it, but the scores were way off. I think it was like a 30-26 or something in there, which was very strange. But it was a very, very good fight. Both fights were really, really good. And I think both of those fights do really good, as Alistair said. I think that's what that division needed. Two really good fights. Yeah. Demetrius, you know, challenged, and, you know, another contender there in Benavidez, or if they do the rematch, whatever.
I read an article today that said Dana White apologized to Cejudo for the robbery. So that just tells you everything you need to know about that fight.
And that's unlike Dana, because Dana normally says he avoids it by going, I'm not a judge. Do you know what I mean? He always does that. That's his like go-to line. I'm not a judge. I don't score it.
Yeah. King saying, do you want to see this fight again? Like the official UFC Twitter. So, you know, that kind of indicates that maybe they're looking at doing the rematch.
It makes sense if they do. It makes sense, especially if there's controversy around it. It does make sense. And that's that. There was a lot of controversy on the night throughout the whole card. I think one of the main ones, I think we were going to bring up in a minute, right?
Yeah, beaten by Toehold, the winner of the Octagon.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, Jake Ellenberger found himself in a weird situation where he got the toe stuck in the cage and basically got the brakes beat off him while his toe was in the cage. But was there confusion? I seen the gif, but was there confusion? Was it waved off and there was a bit of confusion as to what was happening? Yeah. Or was it just... And then he couldn't continue because of the toe, or... You have to educate me here.
What looks like happened... Initially, Herb stopped the fight, but he called a time out of the cage and asked...
So what happened was his foot got caught in the cage, and like Rob was just saying, it looked like Herb stopped the fight. Then he called time. Then you see him go outside the cage, asking what's going on. What's the precaution measures that he should take? The next thing you know, he's come back in and he's called it a TKO. Now, to my understanding, I think that should have been a no contest. Or at the very least, called a doctor in, checked his foot. And then reset the fight, okay? Because if you've called the fight, you've called the fight. But if you've called the fight, then you've got time. Actually, his foot was stuck in the cage. You know, you need to stick by that decision. You know, TKO, you know, you win by a legal technique, you know, whereas getting your foot stuck in the cage, you know, no fault of Jake's fault of getting his foot stuck in the cage. And there weren't hard shots that were landing, I don't think. But again, like I said, I'm not a referee in there, so I can't see what I'm seeing. But it was just weird how it happened. He called stop, then he called time, then he went outside, then come back out, and it was announced as a TKO.
Has Ellenberger appealed it?
I don't know. I think he mostly will, and if he does, I can see it being overturned as no contest. But then again, let's not forget, I don't think you would ever, ever, ever see this again happening. You know, it's a weird one. It's one of them things that you never think would ever happen, and it's happened. Maybe they need to look into who set up the cage. Was the cage not set up properly, or was the canvas too thick, or why the gap was there? It was just a weird situation. And a lot of people were saying on social media, well, he would have lost anyway. Yeah, maybe. You know, the way the fight was going, it looked that way. But as we know, anything can happen, you know. Mm. It was just a weird one where he called time, then it was a TKO. Was it no one's sure. But a couple of people and other officials I spoke to, they reckon they would have called it no contest, not myself. So.
Yeah, it's an awkward one. Yeah, it's an awkward one. Alistair, any thoughts on it? Looks like we lost Alistair's connection too. This is wonderful. He's just standing still looking at us. Either that or he's doing a great mannequin challenge. Alistair, we've seen the Velocia, but so moving on, the last piece on Quickfire News is Tito Ortiz or Christopher Jacob Ortiz. is hanging up his gloves after his next bout against Chael Sonnen at Bellator. So this is the end of an era for a lot of he's like one of the original UFC icons when the UFC were building their brand. As much as him and Dana may have had a falling out and all that went with that, you know, Tito was one of the original
bad boys.
Yeah, they really like built the UFC around them. The way he used to come out waving the flag, the Mexican flag and the American flag. And like it's sad, but like, you know, time, you know, no man has ever beaten time. Time will always get you. And that's what it just looks like here. He's always gone on about his neck issues and his back issues. So, you know, I have to be honest, in the early days, I was a big Tito Ortiz fan. I used to love watching Tito Ortiz. Obviously, he's dwindled in the time. The game has evolved hugely to deal with the Tito Ortiz style.
Yeah.
I think his last notable win was when he guillotined Ryan Bader. but that's probably his last notable big victory. Hello. Yeah, there he is. He's back. Yeah, he's back.
Sorry about that.
He's back.
We have double
Alistair's. Look, you.
Because one isn't enough.
So we're just talking about Tito Ortiz has announced he's retiring after Chael Sonnen and Alistair, just to catch up. But yeah, that was my take on him. It's an end of an era for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend in the sport, so to speak. You know, not many people may not know, you know, who he is, in the sense that the new fans might know him only from when he's formed Bellator, but the early days of UFC, you know, when he fought Evan Tanner, met a Guy Mezger fight when you know the whole Shamrock thing started off from there, when he pretended to dig the grave and, you know, flipped him off and he put Guy Mezger's my bitch or whatever t-shirt he was wearing. You know, there were the days, and you're right, he was the original bad boy, and he did make the company money. Obviously, he's got a good business, Punishment Athletics. But again, it doesn't sit well with me when fighters, before they fight, say,
"You really hate this, Dan. You really hate this."
No, because then it doesn't get you in the fight. You think, it's a cop out. Because if they lose, they go, "Yeah, I was going to retire anyway." Then why not? If you win, who knows where it's going to take you? But better off, do you know what I mean? That, for me personally, I think the mindset is a big thing in the MMA game. And I think if you're already going there half-heartedly, I hope he isn't, because I still think Charles is going to hand him his ass anyway. But it's a weird one. I hate when people go, "Yeah, I'm going to retire after this fight," you know, publicly. So, oh well. But yeah, he's an icon, and I like his style of fighting, and especially what on the fight was it he was in? Was it him and Bisping as coaches? Who were the coaches of him?
No, it Chuck. Was Tito Chuck. And Chuck. And then Tito pulled out of the fight.
That's the one. Yes.
Classic Tito. Yeah. Classic Tito.
Yeah.
Classic Tito. He may, ironically, Tito's pulled out of more fucking things than his ma had pulled out of. Remember, he was married to Gemma James. What else did
that? Holy fuck.
Yeah, that's the hand and water emoji that's on.
Listen, Carl may not be here, but I'm sure he's sitting next to Noel and telling him, "Look, mate, say this and say that."
We don't allow Carl Dorn out here. This is the leafy suburbs of South County Dublin. He's not allowed anywhere. Give us your take quick there, because time's flying. So give us your take there, Rob or Alistair. Jump in. What's Tito? In fairness, Alistair is the youngest of the group, I'd imagine. Yeah, here,
I hold my hands up. I don't know too much about Ortiz's history.
Told you.
Yeah. But that's good. That, you know, us old men can, like, you know, scratch our grey hairs or rub our bald heads and Rob with his flicky hair and then ask him, go, "Tito fucking who?" Do you know what I mean? So it's good, you know. This is it. It's a dynamic group.
Ortiz, he's involved in one of the best interviews I've ever seen. You ever see when Ken Shamrock and him were up on the stage and Ken Shamrock goes, "I'm going to beat you into a living death."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to put a link and up for that on the Twitter page. Definitely.
Yeah, big time. That'd be our tribute to Tino. That's the tribute. So that's your obviously quick fire now. So it was magical. And while we've been talking about certain things, something came to my attention over the weekend there when we were at fight shows. And fighters get an awful lot of kick in the bollocks. and as I was sitting ringside, young Alistair was there. I was made aware that there's a certain cup that is on sale at fightstarireland.ie that if you go to it, it is the Diamond Cup. And it's €100 now. It's pretty expensive. You might say this is pretty expensive. But this testicle holder will look after your balls. The test on this has been getting hit with a baseball bat in the bollocks. And lads are grand from it. And Alistair, you have this on sale in Fight Store. And it's obviously, I was saying that when a bloke gets a kick in the balls of the show, the ring girl should get in with the Diamond Cup rather than the card and walk around with the Diamond Cup with a sign saying
the proper way
on sale at Fight Store. Exactly. Right when the fighter's going, I should have fucking bought that. So check it out. Fight Store Ireland for your Diamond Cup, only €100. How much do you value your yin yang? Plug away there. If Carl was here, he wouldn't have liked that. We're talking about fucking testicle holders, and can I plug something? Plug away.
We also have brand new Fight Store t-shirts. I know a lot of people are asking us for them. They're $24.99 if anybody wants to get one.
Very nice.
There you go. And Fight Star are in control of our obviously Fight Talk t-shirts. So obviously Fight Talk t-shirts will be coming soon too. So Stefan, hurry the fuck up with them. So let's have a look here, Dan. I know you're tight on schedule there. So
I'm going to leave you guys.
Dan, it's been a pleasure as always. Sorry it's a short one for you this week, but we couldn't do a show without your velvet voice.
Thank you very much.
You're in your go ham gear. Are you going jiu-jitsu or where are you going?
I am going to go jiu-jitsu, yes.
I'm
getting picked up by him in a minute, so it's good.
Yeah, choke him out. Nice.
Yeah. I will do. Listen, gents, have a good show, and hopefully me coming off will get Rob's connection going.
Get Rob's connection. Right. I'll ring his man, tell him to turn on the Wi-Fi booster. It'll be grand.
Gents, right, have a good evening, and I'll see
you. Enjoy your jiu-jitsu. Who's the fuck?
Take care. See you later.
Well, thank fuck he's gone, huh? he's still so here, like shit.
So it looks like it's just the two of yous.
Yeah.
Apparently I'm not in on this.
You're not working at all here. So let's move on. Your first topic of the evening. We're going to talk a little bit about Bama and Bellator. It's going down in 2 weeks' time in the Tree Arena. So we're going to just talk about a couple of standout fights. So I just think this week, for me, next week we might look a little bit more. Hopefully next week we will have Reese Skeletor McKee back on with us as well. I was talking to Reese up in Belfast on Sunday, and he's eager. He looks in phenomenal shape. I was watching him do some pad work, but he was saying he wants to come back on the show before we get going. So I'm just going to pull up. We're going to talk about sort of the Bama side of things, okay? So just from, obviously, one stands out straight away, but what fight are we looking forward to seeing here that's from an Irish perspective? Let's go that route first. An Irish perspective, what fight stands out that you're really interested in?
I was looking forward to Dylan Took, Sean Tobin, but I heard today that Tobin's after being replaced. So I'd say Kiefer Crosby. I'm looking forward to his fight.
That's a big fight again. Kiefer is doing very well since moving to the pro ranks. He had a very good end to his amateur career, and I've called Kiefer quite a few times on the amateur scene. I haven't called him yet as a professional actually, but this is a big fight, and I think this will be third or fourth, I'd imagine, in the night. So again, like if you are attending Bamator, definitely get there early, like, because you know.
Yeah.
It's you know, they've stacked the card with Irish talent, and Kiefer's definitely one of them. You can see Kiefer is doing a lot of work with Keane Cowley as well. He's posting up stuff on Down on Warriors, working on his hands as well, and obviously coming out of SBG under coach Sean Kavanagh. You know, you can only expect every time Kiefer gets in there, he's going to be a different animal.
Yeah. Very excited to see what he does on the big stage.
Yeah, big time. So, give me
Yeah.
Give us a thumbs up if I'm still working.
Yeah, you're perfect. You're perfect.
I'm perfect. All right, so Dan Gahan probably have it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that fight. It's a good fight. Looking forward to seeing the Housewife's Choice back in there. It was a big, big blow to him that he missed out on the last one. So that's a very good fight, Andrew Clamp. I believe he was supposed to fight Andrew last time, was he? Yeah, so it's a good fight. Obviously, Reese McKay is a big one. That's a very, very good fight. And Reese, you know, the sky's the limit for Reese. So so that's a big one. And then, of course, the main event, the Tom Dukemont, one of the best fighters on our list, at the number one fight European fighter outside the UFC, takes on Alan Philpott. That's a great fight as well. So the whole card, like if you look at the whole card, it's a really, really good card. And you have Bellator on top of that as well. So some phenomenal fights there.
What I like what they've done as well, like you've Ian Cleary there as well. Obviously, yeah. I keep tempted to say Primal when I talk about Ian Cleary, but I should be saying SPG Charlestown now, shouldn't I? Will fucking Flurry is fighting as well. I like Big Will. He made it himself. Listening to the lads have a podcast there, Ben Forsyth, Keane Erat. I always say Keane's name. It's an amazing name. And Will Flurry, the three lads have a podcast together. And they had Paddy Hoolan on there, it was 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago. And Will was saying, yeah, look, he took a big dent to his ego taking that fight because he never lost a combat sport. So that was his first loss. And he was due to fight MMA and he had two opponents pull out. One pulled out after he'd weighed in. And he took a K-1 bout against
David Blask.
And he got head kicked and got knocked out. Well, it was more of it wasn't a knockout, it was a TKO more so. But, you know, dangerous taking on David Blask. He was an absolute K-1 monster. Like, yeah. But that just shows the type of fighter Will is. He was like, I don't give a fuck, I want to fight. but I'm looking forward to see Big Will on the main stage. Looking up then as well, Blaine O'Driscoll against Neil Ward is another good fight as well. I've always liked Blaine. He's one of the best. I remember being asked, they're teammates now, but I remember Blaine O'Driscoll on Roy Ocean, and the name has just officially left my head. He had a phenomenal fight with, I fought Paul Kowser years ago. Fuck, what's his name? Out of SPG. Help me if you can. Your head is hurt today, can't.
I think I know who you're talking about, but it's not coming to me.
Thanks for your help then.
Is it the famous picture?
Yeah. I'm looking at it. Boy, can't remember his name. We are so going to have to edit this. Hold on, I'm going looking for it. I'm going to find it because this would seriously upset me. But it was one of the best amateur fights. I've always a big fan of Blaine. Blaine then fought on. He's had a few fights recently as well. He obviously had the win over.
How good was he last time out though? That fight was one of the best on the night.
Yeah, and that's what he brings. He's I'm a big fan of Blaine O'Driscoll. Like I said, his movement. He can throw the kicks. He can trade hands. He can do all. He's a takedown. He mixes it up. He is like. I always say this as well now about MMA. Like, it's more, we were talking about Tito and that the game has evolved and stuff. Like, Blaine O'Driscoll is a mixed martial artist. He's coming up. He's training all facets of the sport. But he's taking on Neil Ward, who is coming out of Rush Fight Academy, fighting under Paul Kowser, obviously, there out of Rush. And Neil was literally, as an amateur, was tearing up the amateur division. He had more belts than Louis Versace's, for God's sake. Like he was cashing them in for fun. So I'm looking forward to seeing Neil fight there as well.
Keith Cody.
Keith Cody, that's it. Well done. Good work. That would have hurt my head. I swear. Yeah. While I'm talking, I'm off. I'm not looking at you now. Yeah. I'm scrolling through technology saying my brain is on fire. But that's it. That's a big fight. That's it. Again, for me, as you know, sort of, yeah, you have the big fight like Tom Dukemont, Alan Philpott is absolutely. This is, you know, we have like Alan Philpott commented on their list there last week saying, "So I take Dukemont's spot if I beat him." and I said to him, "Look, I take it you didn't listen to the show because you don't know what I said." So to sort of repeat it again, I said if Philpott was to win this fight, this would be huge for Alan Philpott. Like I said, I couldn't believe when I walked out of watching Duke and Moore's last fight in Birmingham that Alan Philpott came up to me and said, I want that fight. And I was there going, what lunatic just watches that and thinks, I want to fight him after seeing what he's done? That'd be
the biggest upset in Europe. Probably the biggest upset in Europe this year, definitely.
It'd be pretty big.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's doubting Philpott's talents, but the hype behind Tom Dugan, a huge win.
Yeah, like Dugan is 13-1, you know, and Alan will tell you the same as most fighters, records are only for DJs, but like Tom Dugan, he's just. I said it when I was there. He's absolutely an animal. I'm a big fan of him, man. Fighting out of Jackson's now as well. And Alan is actually over in Liverpool training now as well, isn't he? He's not up in the next gen. I think he's doing between two camps as well. But look, it's an MMA fight, and Alan Philpott, unfortunately, he didn't get a dance partner in his last fight because Alan Smackwell Blackwell just didn't want to partake and got a good bit of cardio in that night because he spent the night running from Alan. So, you know, I'm not going to rule Philpott out. I'm going to say, yeah, if he gets an opening, he'll have to take it and take it quick. But Dukumar for me is UFC bound. That's why we had him on number one. But this will raise Philpott through the absolute roof if he was to get this. As you correctly said, though, Alistair, will be the biggest upset. Now, I can't be on here. I know I'm sort of rambling at this stage, but I can't be on at this stage and not talk about the Borough and Chris, the housewife choice fields. He's taking on Andy Clamp, who's 8-1. Chris, 11-7-1. But Chris is fighting in Dublin. He was due to headline the last time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And the fights fell through and... You know, up the border, Chris Fields, you won't find us backing against him. Chris is one of the nicest guys in MMA. He's out in SPG Swords now. He's got his own setup out there. Looks amazing. So I'd be there. Chris, this is a big opportunity in front of his home crowd. You'll want to put on a show.
I was at the press conference a couple of weeks back, and then what struck me was how confident and how calm he was up on stage. And Clamp didn't really have much to say at all. He was just agreeing with what he said. So it'd be great to have an Irish champion in Bama, obviously.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't.
Big time. I think that time in the house and the little bit of time he had in the UFC done him really good because, you know, if you look at him lately, although his record hasn't been phenomenal, he's looked, as you said, he's looked really, really calm in there. He looks like he can take on anybody in there. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. And again, and as I said, it was a big disappointment last time to make it to the card because of the pullout. So it's a very good fight.
Yeah, he was due to fight Paul Craig in the last one. Now, Paul Craig's obviously gone off to UFC, but he was due to fight Andy Clamp at Bama 24. And he ended up fighting the German guy. And then again, when he fought Christopher Jacquelin, he was winning that fight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He was winning that fight. Yeah. He just got caught in a triangle after saying on a severe session, hopefully he gets caught in triangles. Sorry for bringing that back up again, Chris, but I have to. But yeah, look, again, we'll probably, like I said, I don't want to go too much into Reese McKee. Again, if you've ever listened to Obviously Fight Talk, you know what I think of Reese McKee. But the fact that we're going to have Reese on next week, I think we just save talking to Reese about Reese. You were right there as well, Alistair, that Dylan Took has a replacement now in Cameron Else, I want to say his name is.
Yeah.
Killer Cam. So again, that a change of opponent. This has happened a bit as well with Dylan Took as well. The last few times this has happened with him as well. And Dylan Took is touted as one of the one of the best up and comers as well. I've literally seen him from his amateur debut right up until now, and his last before was it Reese's last fight when he fought Adam Venter, was it?
Dylan's fight,
yeah.
That was the last fight.
And like he went through, you know, as he said, that was his worst night.
I think he and took he still a few got to this.
Yeah, he said on his worst night he still bet Adam Venter, and Adam Venter is a really good fighter, of course, out of the same camp as Fish Gold and Paddy Pimblett.
You'd love to see a rematch of two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I just think, as much as like Dylan Tuke was disgusted with himself after that performance, I just think he's going to get so much from that. The shots he took. One thing we learned about that night about Dylan Tuke was there's no quitting him. Like he I'm sure he'd handily admit it. He got battered in parts in that fight. He got battered with the exchange. And I don't think he was expecting that. He took some heavy, heavy shots. But he just kept fighting his way through it, kept pressing forward, and eventually got the finish with it was a rear naked choke, I'm right in saying, wasn't he? And he eventually eventually got it done.
Yeah.
But again, that's
something you can't push. That's something you look for in young fighters, like and developing fighters. Like there's a lot of fighters who go through their early stages of the career without kind of experiencing that. And when you kind of see that in a fighter of that age and you know, it doesn't have a whole lot of experience. It's been fighting amateur for quite a long time, but that's always a big plus. You know, heart, you can't really replace that.
Yeah.
I think you need to have a fight like that early on in your career just to give you a taste of what's to come and prepare you for the future. And I think
we've
seen it with Gallagher in his last fight as well.
He
was took the 3 rounds as well, and you can only get better from that. So hopefully both of them put on good performances in 2 weeks.
Well, that's it. You know, I honestly think, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm sure every fighter would love to be out of there inside the first minute of every fight, but you only learn so much about yourself when you're pushed and when you're in trouble. Can you fight through it? Do you have to quit in you? Like, you see a lot of fighters, they will quit, but like, there was no quitting Dylan Tuke, and he answered a lot of questions. As much as people say, oh, he exposed a lot of things, I don't think so. I think Dylan nailed it. He was off that night. He just didn't feel right, he'd said. And like, he's just, for me, like, Dylan Tuke was such an exceptional talent. And a night like that, we'll learn it from another one of his teammates. This is like the SBG. It should be called SBG Bellator. Never mind Bama Bellator. Richie Smullen has taken on Conor Dylan. No, get your heel hooks at the ready, Richie Smullen. Conor Dylan, as I'm sure is well aware, has been around the scene here in Ireland a long time as well. I'd say literally all he's doing is training heel hook defense. Sinead Kavanagh, again, coming off a great win out in the last Bama. Sinead here is knocking, especially with, this is the big thing about this card as well. They're sharing the card with Bellator, so Bellator are going to be looking here as well. So I think Sinead Kavanagh is one, two fights out from getting the big phone call possibly.
Do you think Bama needs to put a title on the line for her to fight for?
Keeper.
I think they need to. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I honestly think if the allure of gold might stand more. And that's like, I think that goes with a lot of fighters. Like, I know when Belfast came around, like the last Bama was literally UFC Belfast call out. I think every fighter who won called for a shot in Belfast, and that's understandable. It was in Ireland, we're a small little country, so I can understand all the call outs. But at the same time, if I was Bama backstage, I would have been going, for fuck's sake, look, he's all shut the fuck up calling for the UFC. You're fighting in the he's fighting in the Tree Arena, like, you know what I mean? But from the fighter's perspective, 100% understand. And I honestly do think Sinead Kavanagh is the one as well in there. Like, apart from like looking at it, I'd go Duke and Waugh is very close UFC. Do you know what I mean? 100%. Sinead Kavanagh would be another one. I think Rhys McKee has a very level. Again, I was speaking to Rhys. I don't want to say too much because we'll speak to Rhys next week. Rhys McKee has a very level head on his shoulders. I think he does realize that time is of the essence. Like Rhys is only a very young man. He's time there. Same with Tuke. The same way I talked about, I was delighted when I seen Philpott stay with Cage Warriors. You know, sometimes it's too early to make the jump, but I definitely think, Alistair, what you're saying, to hold on to Sinead Kavanagh, she wins, and she wins the way she has been. The UFC are going to be looking at her 100%. Bellator could be looking at her 100%, will be looking at her 100%, and maybe the allure of gold might keep her at Bama a couple of fights longer.
She called out the champion of Invicta as well, which is another possible route for her.
Yeah,
definitely. That's a big possibility.
Yeah, makes sense to go, because like, I'm sure Sinead finds it hard to, especially with her highlight reel, I'm sure she finds it very hard to get a lot of women to sign up to fight her.
And there is a limited amount of women out there, not in the UFC or Invicta, or even Bellator. They're obviously promoting some women's fights now, but not an awful lot. But there's not huge options out there. Like, she has ran through a lot of the options that she has.
Yeah, and in fairness, we done a thing there last week of the of the top fighters outside of outside of the UFC. And we were going to do it in mixed, and then we said we might do a women's one later. But if we were doing a women's one, you'd have to say that Jeanette Kavanagh would definitely be on that list.
Oh, yeah.
Because I honestly think if you were to put her in the division in the UFC, she would be taking heads in there right now. You know, if we were talking about Jeanette Kavanagh fighting this week on UFC on Friday night or UFC undercard on 206, you wouldn't be saying she's out of her depth. Do you know what I mean? You'd be backing her.
And the great thing about Irish fighters is they always have that built-in following. You always get that built-in following in Irish fighter. That's why, you know, Bellator are jumping all over the James Gallagher product, because you know you're just going to have that following there. It's just a thing you're going to get with the majority of Irish fighters going into your promotion.
Sinead Kavanagh would
Big time.
Sinead Kavanagh would have some following if she went to the UFC, especially if she was in the running for that belt. Like, yeah. The Irish should all jump behind her and carry her on.
Yeah. And the Irish love a good session as well, so.
Yeah. but as well, I honestly think Sinead has she's a good personality, she's a good story, she's coming from the boxing background, she's a knockout artist. It's easier for the casual fan, you know, in a way, to latch on to somebody who's knocking people out and taking home fighting and night bonuses and stuff like that. And that's certainly what I think Sinead would do if she stepped into the UFC. As much as I'm just giving out about fighters calling for the UFC, we're doing it right now. So Bama is a stacked card. I can officially say I'm not plugging it this time because I'm announcing it and saying come to see me. I'm not announcing it. We will be there as obviously Fight Talk. Hopefully we're just waiting on Bellator to confirm. Still haven't confirmed. So we're just waiting on the email. But yeah, look, it's Bama will be spectacular. It'll be another great night. And you're getting the benefits. We haven't even mentioned Bellator. We will do next week. So let's move it on swiftly, gentlemen. So basically, there was this bald bloke that is the president of the UFC. His name is Mr. Dana White. And he was on UFC Unfiltered, which is with Matt Serra. And I don't know the other guy's name. What's the other guy's name? Anyone know top of the head?
Yeah. Don't know.
Jim Norton.
So, but
there you go.
There we go. Look, we knew we had Alistair on for a reason. Brilliant. So basically, there was a couple of things. He went on, firstly, about the Fighters Union. So obviously, the Fighters Union, there was a big meeting on Wednesday, and I had fighters Tim Kennedy, George St. Pierre, TJ Dillashaw, Cain Velasquez, and Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Yeah. And they were beside, as Dana was calling them today, Bjork. Bjorn Ribney is basically, what would you call him? He's the manager of the boy band. Would you call him that?
Advisor, maybe.
Advisor and advisor in chief.
So they had like a 2.5 hour press call last week, and it's 1-0 to Celtic at Man City. If anyone cares, but. They had a press conference. So basically, they were talking about Fighters Union and they were coming out with stats and stuff. So Dana was coming on today to talk about it. And he basically turned around and said about Ribney, he kept calling him Bjork, saying that he's a scumbag of MMA, that if you're going to have somebody looking after you, they're going to have interests for something else rather than you. This is just another organization that will be looking for money off fighters. And if you want somebody's hand in your pocket, you don't want this scumbag's hand in your pocket. So typical Dana White, almost Dana White of 3 or 4 years ago, wasn't pulling punches. So before I go about what he said about the actual fighters, what did you think of the comments on that, Alistair? Did you listen into it, and what did you think what he was saying?
Yeah, I listened to it earlier on. I thought it was, he went in a scathing attack off Bjorn or Bjork or whatever you call him, and then he started targeting Cowboy Cerrone.
Yeah.
Saying that he always had Cerrone's back, and why did he not ring him to tell him he was doing this? And I thought that was very interesting to see his insight into it. And I don't know if the association will come together more than it has. Or
Dana was pointing out that Ribney turned around and said you pay your fighters 8% of revenue or something. And Dana always said, I hope you're talking about fucking Conor McGregor, because nobody else is getting that type of money. But then he said that Ribney said he paid 53% of the revenue. And he was like, yeah, but that's because you just had no fucking revenue. Do you know what I mean? These weren't making money. So the monies we're paying was 53%. Said if that's the case, years ago in the UFC, we were paying 250% of revenue because we were paying fighters more than we were earning. Now, pinch of salt, bucket of salt, whatever you want to do. Dana spoke about Cowboy. Remember Rob, the story a while back with Cowboy at the speedboats and he kicked the fella in the head or whatever. Dana said that Cowboy rang him when this happened. And Dana went out and got him one of the best lawyers to help him and paid $100,000 of his own money to help Cowboy out. So he was like, he was a little let down in a way that Cowboy didn't ring him and say this or whatever. He felt let down by him. Now, one thing I read on Reddit, which I know is Troll City, but I thought, that's a really good fucking point. How many times has Donald Cowboy Cerrone done huge favors for the UFCs? As in stepping in on short notice, taking fights. So it's all well and good. It's all well and good for Dana to say, well, this is the favor I done for Cowboy that one time.
Yeah.
But how many times can Cowboy say, well, I done this for you, I done that for you, I done this for you, I done that for you? Fighters Union, I'd be fully behind. I think fighters should be getting a lot more than we're getting, especially the law. Like, Conor McGregor, there's nobody else in the UFC like Conor McGregor. Nobody is doing the money he's doing. Even like George St. Pierre but George St. Pierre is a multimillionaire out of MMA. Yeah. But he's not even on the same level as what Conor's earning. So it's unfair to compare what Conor's getting to what Sergio Pettis is getting. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I think they should be looking, be it medical bills, insurance, stuff like that. I think they should be looking after certain fighters. If they're getting certain TV deals, they should be given that. The Reebok stuff is insane that fighters are getting screwed on. That's another thing. So I do honestly believe there is, it's one all Man City. I do honestly believe there is a need for an MMA. But getting a rival, former rival, it should be said, not even a rival to the UFC. He was like an insect to a fucking dinosaur, really. Is a wrong idea. When I seen Rimney, I was like, what the fuck's he doing with them? I did question that. But
yeah,
in regards to what Dana was saying, it was a typical Dana tyrant of just being mad about stuff. He also mentioned that Conor did relinquish his title. He was offered. He doesn't have any issues with Conor McGregor. He loves him and it'll never be stopped. He is a two-weight champion. That'll never change. But he sort of touched on loads of different things. Typical Dana White fashion. But I think he's some valid points with what Rimney said, you know?
Did any of you see the Alvarez contract got leaked a few years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see the finer points of it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when you sign the contract, the UFC owns everything that you have, even your tattoos, everything, and you're not allowed to sign any deals with any sports brands.
Yeah, Bleacher Report on it.
Yeah. It's madness.
Yeah, Bleacher Report done a big piece on that where they broke down all the different clauses in the contract with some lawyer. And he was basically saying that it's almost illegal what they're doing. Like, if you actually brought them to court, some of the actual clauses in there doesn't seem legal. But back on the Cowboy thing, yeah, like, Dana's saying, oh, why didn't he come to me first? Has he not been watching every single Cowboy Cerrone interview for the past 6 months?
Yeah.
When he's been talking about starting some kind of association and all this. So just listen to his interviews and you'll know what's going to happen. But I do think that he does have some good points, but the way that Dana White goes about his business is sometimes a bit crazy. Going off on that tirade and, you know, it just doesn't look good for the face of an organization to go off on a union like that. And, like, I suppose the head of the union, I don't know what Bjorn is, but... I do think you do make a good point when it came out and when you see him, Bjorn Rebney was at the head of it. It's a bit strange. It's a bit of a weird pick to go with Bjorn Rebney.
Another thing that Dana did say, he mentioned that Cyborg turned down two fights and was offered a featherweight title belt with Holly Holm. Yeah. White said she refused both fights as she couldn't make weight at 145. And Joe Silva, this is a quote, said, like, if she can't make 145 in 8 weeks, 145 isn't the weight class for her either. Now, since then, Cyborg has come out and released a statement. So I'm going to read it out in case anyone hasn't. So there are obviously going to be a few little translations from English to from Portuguese to English, but sure, we'll give it a go. So this is her quote word for word. In my last weight cut, I almost died. I was in the bathtub cutting weight, and my thought, I will die in this bathtub. It was the worst weight cut in my life. my nutritionist George Lockhart, who, by the way, is a UFC employee, didn't do an effective job with this birth control pill. He indicated saying that would help me. But thank God, in a war, I made weight, cutting 24 pounds in a week. My body was retaining a lot of water. The last time I spoke with George Lockhart was in the locker room before my fight. He disappeared after the fight. I'm not working with him anymore. She went on to say, for the first time, I didn't warm up in the locker room like I do every fight because I was too weak. I was just praying for God and went for the fight. And once again, God gave me the victory. After all this, I went back to my hometown on Sunday and I felt sick on Sunday. My mother gave me tea and I fell asleep. The next day, like I always do after my fights, I did blood tests to see if everything was okay after a terrible weight cut. And for the first time, the nurses could not take my blood. It was so thick, it wouldn't come out. So we couldn't do tests. I was in treatment for 10 days with Dr. I'm going to get this wrong, Ulysses. I was in observation because I was feeling sick all the time. You can see that I gave no interviews after the fight. I told UFC Brazil PR Linian Caprose that I wanted to cancel all my interviews and couldn't travel. After that, at home, I decided I would not fight at this weight anymore, that I would only fight at my division and with only 12 weeks' notice. That was the that was my last fight, and they told me 8 weeks before. I got a call from the UFC offering me another catchweight fight. I said I would not fight at this weight anymore. I needed a break to get my health back to normal as my body was weak. I was anemic. After that, they invited me to fight again, but this time at my weight and for the belt, but with 10 weeks' notice. Knowing that I was recovering, like I said, I told them I can fight anyone in March, but I need to take care of my body. And no mention of the fact that I'm dealing with severe depression and can't have another brutal weight cut like before. This decision is more important than a belt or a division. I'm thinking about my health. I thank my fans. We did it. I'll soon be fighting in my division where I'm the world champion. You and God are loyal. I'll be ready to fight in March. So that's the full statement by Cyborg. So deep.
So
yeah,
it gives you a very good insight into what she's going through.
It puts into perspective. I remember the famous picture with Misha Tate lying on the floor as well, and there was one very similar of Cyborg as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you look at women physically, they can't cut as much weight as men. It's just they can't go that low with their body fat for essential reasons, not like for actual reproductive reasons and different reasons like that. So they can't actually cut as much weight. So at certain points, they'd be dehydrating themselves quicker than what a man would, because a man could get their body fat down a lot further. So it is very, very dangerous for a woman to cut so much weight. And then, you know, 5 pounds, that's what she fought, 140, so 145. 5 pounds still isn't an awful lot, so I'm sure that cut is still huge.
It'd be 19 pounds. She said she cut 24 pounds, so it'd be 19 pounds, you know.
So that's still a huge cut, and you can see that's a huge cut because she's not doing it in such a short notice, and I think that's just smart. You know, I think your physical ableness is just a lot more important than some kind of belt. So I do think that she's making the right decision there. But I'd also say Joe Silva does have a point. If she can't make weight in that amount of time, maybe she should consider going up. But if she can make weight in that amount of time and she can afford to take that much time off and you know, I suppose push out her weight cut a little bit further, then that's fine. And she has done it in the past, but it is definitely scary to see stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely insane.
She looked like a zombie before her last fight. She was,
yeah,
I've never seen anybody look as bad before their fight. There was even a video released of her just crying.
Yeah.
Trying to sweat it out, and her coaches persuading her to go back in. And
it's crazy. And then
you never want to see a fighter.
Go ahead.
You never want to see a fighter go through that just to fight. Like,
no.
There should have to be a point where you say no.
Exactly, yeah. And it came up with Tim Elliott as well, who said that he almost didn't make weight. He felt like he was just gonna die in there. Like, it just wasn't possible. It's definitely, I think what California are doing with the weight cuts, I think that's definitely the route to go, where you have to be a certain percentage in a certain amount of time, because some of the weight cuts that are happening right now are just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, well, Joe Rogan has gone on about this for a long time, about it's the worst part of combat sports is the cutting of weight, because it affects, you know, you're messing with, like, your liver and your kidneys can shut down from this, you know?
Silly.
So it is. We
have seen it improve, though, with the early weigh-in still in UFC. They are trying to combat it, so at least they're doing something, right?
Yeah, at least they're doing something. But, like, it's silly when you look at the likes of, say, I don't know, for examples, but you're looking at two, say, middleweights cutting down to welterweight to fight at welterweight to rehydrate back up to middleweight. It just doesn't make any sense. Just fight a middleweight. I understand that there is some guys who can cut a lot more weight, the likes of the Gleason, T-Bell and stuff like that, who can get down to 155 and be a hell of a lot bigger. But does that really help that much that you're killing yourself to get down to that weight?
One thing that I noticed in her statement, and I hope it's picked up on, is she mentions that she has severe depression.
That's
like, as much as, like, straight away, the first thing we picked up on there was, oh, the weight cut, geez, she's really, that's terrible. But that line of suffering with severe depression, that needs to be looked at. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, you know, that obviously cutting weight with that isn't good for her no matter what, but just that line itself, that's somebody who's, in a sense there, has reached out. So hopefully somebody reaches back and helps her. So we wish all the best to Cyborg. Yeah. And, like, she's an amazing fighter. I love watching her fight. I'd love to see the 145 division happen for women's MMA. And I'd love her to be the champion, and rightly so. But her health, physical health, but her mental health is hugely important too. And I certainly hope that UFC officials are friends and family pick up on that too, and that's addressed.
I think you hit the nail on the head there with that one, because we didn't pick up on it straight away, like, and to think that other people wouldn't, it's a huge thing. Mental health is a huge thing, especially in such a high stress environment, like the likes of a fighting. Yeah, that's a huge thing. Your mental health has to be completely there, and if it's not, that definitely has to be looked at.
It's the same with Ronda Rousey.
I think a fighter's mentality should be the number, is nearly more important than whatever skills they have. If their mentality's not there, they're not going to perform at all inside the ring.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, exactly. So what we're going to do is, Alistair, I believe Alistair's blind on this one, Rob, is he? This is me and you here, is it?
Yeah, it's me and you, and I told Alistair what the list was. So if he has any suggestions, that once we're finished, we'll discuss those.
Alistair knows the list, does he?
No, he just knows what the list is. He doesn't know what the actual picks are. He knows what
Perfect. So the idea is pretty simple for this one. We normally have some premises, like, how would he do in the UFC, or how would it? This is simple. This is a simple one. Take the brain out and just remember here. So this is basically
You broke up there. Your mic has gone off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm back.
I'm back.
Yeah, I got excited. I stood on the lead. So the premise is simple. This is fights that you just fucking love so much, or that was an amazing fight that you just want to fucking see it again.
Fights that will make you pull your mic out.
Yes, fights that will make you stand on your lead.
That's kind of dirty, actually.
So, number five, we just go straight in there. There's going to be no little mentions. We can bring them back. We can talk about them, but fuck it. Let's go. Number five, Robbie Lawler versus my man who got robbed that night, Carlos Condit. Number five. That's a rematch, I think, that honestly has to happen. That's if Condit comes back. He's been talking about retiring. Robbie Lawler has just lost. I think Condit Lawler is an absolute must. The first fight, the famous picture of the two of them leaning over the octagon side by side after basically boxing the snot off one another for five rounds. It's an iconic photograph. It's an iconic moment. And that was an iconic fight. And I want number two.
Yeah, I completely agree with that one. I had that on my list as well. Actually, I didn't. I had it on my honorable mentions, but it's definitely one for the list. The only reason I didn't have it on the list was just because of the Condit situation. Is he going to come back? His last fight, he mentally didn't look there. But if he comes back, I'll be very excited if they make that fight, because that's a phenomenal fight to make.
Number four, we went with TJ Dillashaw, Dominic Cruz. This was the young lion taking on the king of the jungle. king of the jungle had been off in hibernation looking after his knees, and Dillashaw was lighting up the division. Came back, everyone was building his speed against speed. Phenomenal fight. Again, another absolute instant classic. And yeah, that's definitely a fight I'd want to see.
Yeah. A great fight.
That first fight was brilliant. And that definitely needs to happen. If he beats Garbrandt, that I'd say that would be the next title shot. Has to be.
Yeah, I thought Dominic Cruz won that fight. Not handily, but he looked really, really good in it. But it was close enough. And I think with a few adjustments in there, I think TJ could make it even closer. And there's not many fighters out there who I would give a chance to beat Dominic Cruz. I think Cruz would be a little bit too technical for Garbrandt. But that rematch, if that rematch happens, I'd be very, very excited. It's a phenomenal fight.
The one thing I'd say about the rematch is I honestly think, you know, sometimes when you see, like, you look at Cruz's style and there's nobody, you can't replicate it. So I honestly think you have a better chance beating him, fighting him the second time than you do the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've shared the octagon with him. You've experienced it. You've seen his speed. You've seen his movement. So I think second time around, you have a lot stronger of a chance to do it.
But he's also seen you, and he's a master at game plans.
I think the thing about that fight was Dillashaw looked very good in parts of that fight, and he just needs to put together a proper performance in every round, and he'll get closer to him.
Yeah,
100%. Number three, this is my guy, my two guys, you can nearly say, Max Holloway, Conor McGregor. Number three. It's a fight that has to happen. And I think the reason for it is what Conor has obviously done. Conor, we don't need to go into what Conor's done. But Max Holloway, I'd nearly argue he hasn't lost a round since he fought Conor. And is soon to be the interim title champion. And then he's going to box his nut off Jose and be the featherweight champion. I love Max Holloway. And I just think him, McGregor, Max Holloway has come out as well and said he'll fight Conor a heavyweight if he has to get the rematch. A great fight.
I think he's so underrated for so long, and then he's gone on this 9-fight win streak and everybody sat up and took notice, and I'd love to see that fight as well. I think McGregor at full strength and him at full strength, that'd be just a brilliant fight.
Yeah, I've been a fan of Max Holloway forever. So when he was matched up with Conor, as an Irishman, I wanted Conor to get in there and do it, to get that title, but you know, as just a fan of MMA, that was an amazing fight to watch. Holloway, if you actually look at the first round, I know Conor got hurt in the second, I believe. And if you actually look at the first round, he wasn't outstruck that badly, and he took some good shots from Conor. He took that left hand a couple of times, and he didn't get dropped. So you can see his chin is there. He has some of the best boxing technique in that division, probably in the UFC, and some of the best movement. And even on the ground, he's getting a lot better. So it's definitely a fight I want to see again.
Yeah, like there was a meme going around there a couple of weeks back, just after Conor beat Alvarez, and I was like, nobody can take this left hand, or can take the left hand. And it was a picture of Max Holloway, and I was like, well, Max Holloway took it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, he did take it technically, so you know, hey. But I just think that's a great fight, and that would be a great fight, 45 versus 55, and even do a catchweight at 150. I think it'd be fucking amazing fight.
Yeah,
huge Holloway fan. Conor McGregor features in number two slot as well. People will dispute this because people have been talking about it a lot, notably because Conor's been stripped. The Jose Aldo rematch. Jose Aldo versus Conor McGregor. For me, I'm sort of agreeing with John Kavanagh to the reason why this should be rematched, because I think it's as a five-round fight and not a 30-second. Like, don't get me wrong. I'd never do a share and turn back time in this one, Rob. But I just think as a fight, as a contest, I'd love to see more of that fight. I really would. And I think you have an angry little Jose Aldo now. And I think, I just think he'd want vengeance. I just think it's a badass fight. It'd be a great rematch, I think.
I think we were robbed. I love the result, but I think we were robbed of a great fight with that 13-second knockout. Aldo's been so dominant for so many years, and I just want to see him fight McGregor properly, and then we can decide who's the best.
Definitely. I think there's so much more in that fight. Like when you were to break down that fight, when I was looking at that fight, you were looking at everything. You're looking at how is the kicks going to be effective? Is Conor's left hand going to be landing there? Who's going to press forward and everything? And then it was just over like that. And speaking about being robbed, I don't feel robbed, but I did. I was at it. So I did spend a fucking shitload of money for 13
seconds. You were officially robbed.
Yeah,
officially robbed. Log, that sounds so wrong. You said you spent a shitload of money for 13 seconds.
Very nice.
What does Nikki think of that?
Somebody get that on loop and just throw it up on YouTube. No, but
soundboy.
Yeah. But no, I don't fear Rob, because it was a great moment and a great moment in UFC history, but I would love to see an extended version of that. Just let me see what'll happen if them two men go in there for 2-3 rounds, even 5 rounds. It'd be amazing.
Right, so what we're going to do now is, we done this to Dan last week with top European fighter, so we're going to put you under pressure. What do you think we have as number one?
Cormier Jones.
Oh, he nailed it.
Oh, right off the bat.
Bam.
Dirty whore,
I had that as number one on my list, too.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
Nice. See, look, it's Dan's a perfect connection. Look. Now, Dan, you're off. Yeah, so DC Jones, it was the big build-up the last time, throwing punches at the press conference, the fight laid out. So it rematches. It's just the whole, John Jones, get your shit together, you know. It's just, it's there, isn't it? You don't see, as weird, like, I like DC, but you don't see DC as a champion. The same way it's the Jose Aldo. You don't see Jose as a champion because Connor never lost his belt. Yeah. So you don't see DC as a champion because Jones never lost his belt. I just think it's a great... there's a story, there's a backlog to it. The build-up to it would be phenomenal, and I think the fight would be phenomenal. When even having DC commentating when he was fighting, when Jones was fighting St. Peru, it was brilliant by the UFC, and it was all set up. And then Jones done a bit of coke and took a dick pill and knocked a pregnant woman down. And it all went fucking shits up.
I think it's the bad blood between the two of them. You just want to see more and more of them together. Yeah. Like, the build up to that fight would be off the scales. It would be on comparison to Diaz McGregor.
Yeah.
And
Brock and Frank Mir. Fucking hated exactly. Them. Remember they had Brock and Frank Mir watching the first fight and all. And fucking Brock was smashing doors and all. It was fucking deadly. But yeah, that's number one. Like, so yeah, who did you have in your list that we missed out on?
Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm.
Yeah, we had that in. I think I had that as number 5, and Noel had somebody else up there, and we went with that one. What's your reasons, Noel, for not having it on the list?
I don't think it's worthy of a rematch. As much as I know we're saying Jose Aldo, right, and people going, that's not worthy of a rematch. It is, because the knockout, as we just pointed out, we were sort of robbed of the amazing fight and spectacle that would be. And I just think... like, Holly Holm battered her, like, do you know what I mean? Like, she beat her pillar to post. Like, at one stage, she just moved out of the way and Ronda fell straight into the cage. Do you know what I mean? So, right now, I don't think it's a rematch. If Ronda came back and had 2 really impressive wins, like, the weird thing is, Ronda's fighting Amanda Nunes now for the title. So, like, Ronda comes back, she wins. More than likely, they're probably going to throw Holly Holm in there against her. But for me, right now, I don't think it's a seller.
I get where you're coming from, like, especially that Holm just lost as well. So you have two girls who just come off 2 losses. Well, I completely know where you're coming from, but I still think that moment, if you put them in the cage together, that moment standing across the cage will be huge. I think that's, like, everyone would tune in for that. So that's why I had it.
I definitely agree with that, and I honestly think Ronda would have that twitched away Jose Aldo will against Conor. You know what I mean? You know what I done to you, motherfucker, and I can do it again. So it's interesting in that part, but I just don't believe with the 5 we've presented that should be in there instead of them.
Yeah, I see.
Who else have you got?
I have John Jones, Alexander Gustafsson.
I had that in there too, but it was a notable. Yeah, the fact that Jones basically said he fucking knocked people down and done shitloads of coke and drank loads of beer and then beat Gustafsson. Do you know what I mean? Because when I watched that, I've spoken about this on the show previously. When I watched that fight, I thought Gustafsson won it. And I thought it was a huge robbery. Then I rewatched it on silent without commentary, and I can see why Jones won it. I give it to Jones.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And then I also had Dominic Cruz and TJ Dillashaw, which you had.
Yeah. We had Rob at Weidman Rockhold as a notable. We had Nick Diaz, Robbie Lawler as a notable. But I think that's a strong enough list now, I have to be honest.
We also had Diaz, McGregor, three, but,
could see happen.
Yeah.
Maybe. That will. I think that will. Yeah. I think that will happen. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if that's Conor's next, but sure, anyway.
Go down the list there one more time before we move on.
So, at number one, you're too young to remember, that's Top of the Pops, Alistair. Number one, we have Daniel Cormier versus John Jones. Number two, we have Jose Aldo versus Conor McGregor. Number three, we have Max Holloway against Conor McGregor. Number four, we have TJ Dillashaw against Dominic Cruz. And number five, Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condit. Agree, disagree, shout at us on Facebook or Twitter. It's at @talk_fight on Twitter. Hit us up, follow us, do all that. Same on Facebook. Leave a comment, say, is that stupid? How did you just leave out Tank Abbott and whatever? leave your comments where they will be, and we will pay attention. And Rob does write back to you, trolls. So I'm not saying these are all trolls.
Very politely.
I've never seen a man put a troll down more polite.
Yeah.
So moving on, we're not going to talk about Friday night's fights because we're not going to. Time is of the essence. So we're going to do it a little bit different this week. We're not going to just talk about we're not going to break down the whole card. We're going to look at the main event and we're going to look at the co-main event, and then we're going to say what card stands out to you that you're looking forward to outside.
What fight?
Exactly. What did I say? Card. So, co-main event sees Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who won the battle. So, I'm not looking forward to seeing that going to the judges' scorecards for him. Taking on Matt Immortal Brown. The Immortal Matt Brown. Cracking fight for me, straight off the bat. This is an absolute barn burner. We always talked about Cowboy's weaknesses when he gets someone just putting pressure. That's how Matt Brown beat Wonder Boy. Is that going to happen this time around with Cowboy?
I see Cowboy winning that fight easily. I can't see...
Easily?
Yeah, easily. I say a second round knockout.
Wow.
Confident.
Yeah, that is confident. Coming in here with his confidence, with his 100% all-in-all picks.
We haven't been keeping track of our picks, but I'm kind of glad because I don't think we're doing very well, to be honest.
I believe I'm up to 93% at this stage.
Yeah, completely doubt that. I do think that Donald Cerrone will win this. I think one of the big things that Donald Cerrone has changed that's been really good for him is going to the body. Like, a lot of time he was hurt to the body. Matt Brown gets hurt to the body quite a lot, and Donald Cerrone has changed that quite a lot. So I think that's a big thing. But this fight in general, this is a fight that I wanted to see for the past probably 2-3 years. Since Matt Brown's gone on that run, I've wanted to see this fight. Two guys who will just go in there and fight. There's no messing around. There's not going to be no dancing around in there. There's going to go and fight. And I do think Donald Cerrone is just a little bit too good for Matt Brown at this point. But I love this fight. Really,
yeah, I think Matt Brown will try and drag it into the murky, dirty, filthy waters the way he can do, put constant pressure on Cowboy. I hate when you get in before me and then say what I'm going to say. I just think Cowboy will win this fight by ripping to the body. We've seen Matt Brown crumble to it before, and I can just see Donald landing that left to the liver all day long in this. It's a great fight. And I actually agree with Alistair's second round here. Late second round stoppage. I picked once against Donald Cowboy Cerrone, and I won't do it again. Great fight, though.
He just looks so much better since he moved up in weight.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
He looks stronger. Actually looks stronger up there, too. Like, the way he was just throwing off, like, attempted takedowns against him recently. Like, he looks like a fuller, happy fighter. Like, you know, a happy, well-fed fighter is a stronger fighter. So we're all going Donald Cowboy Cerrone there.
Before we move on to that, what would you do with Donald Cerrone if he gets this win? Because he's on a really good streak. Like, I'd say he has to be up there in contention for that title shot.
Most definitely.
I'd say he needs to, one of the top place fighters he needs to fight next.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. Look, it depends on what they do with Wonder Boy and Woodley. If they're going to do that rematch, maybe give him the number one contender fight, but you never know. But he's definitely up there, and I'd love to see him fight the likes of Wonder Boy. Imagine that fight. That would be an amazing fight.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think in saying that, Daniel Moya has said if they do rematch, he'll take another fight. So
Cerrone,
Donald Moya, oh, do that. So yeah, because Cerrone's he ain't bad off his back. You know, we'd say the same with Carlos Condit and Damian Moya. Then makes them look like no stripe boy belts. But I'd watch Cowboy against Damian Moya, no problem. And that's a good fight. And you know yourself, if Cowboy comes out of this one unscathed, he'd be asking for the soon. So if they got this going January, February, maybe February, March even, and they rematched Woodley and Wonderboy, it could be, you know, in fairness. Woo, it's a good fight.
It's crazy how stacked that division is at the moment. Like when GSP was ruling that division, looking at contenders, it was just kind of like, okay, he's going to fight GSP and lose. He's going to fight GSP and lose. And now it's just like, who's going to fight who? Who's going to be champion next week? And
yeah, anybody can win that. Anybody. Yeah,
it's a great division at the moment.
Yeah, that's a great point though with Cowboy. What do you do with him? You know, but I honestly think for it, that'd be his fourth. Wouldn't that was third win at welterweight, is it?
Yeah. I think it's his third, yeah.
Yeah, although Dana White probably won't give him the title shot because he hurt his feelings.
Yeah. Dana White will probably like make him go to 185 and fight fucking Yoel Romero. Cracker of a co-main. Your main event is for the most plastic belt that the UFC have ever produced. It is Max Blessed Holloway against Anthony Showtime Pettis. That sounds like I'm being disrespectful to the fighters. It's not. It's the new owners trying to make the main event glisten more and sparkle that there's a belt on the line. It's certainly not aimed at the two fighters. I'll jump off the bat at this one. Yeah, I don't think you need to guess. I'm going to go with Max Holloway. I just think he'll be too long. He'll have too much everywhere for Anthony Pettis. Pettis has looked good. Like somebody tried to say that Alvarez ran over Pettis, and I'd like to say rewatch that fight. He didn't run over him. But I just think Max Holloway is comfortable at 45. Pettis is still testing the waters down there, and Max Holloway has just been on an absolute fucking tear. His technique, I love the way he moves. He's proved it when the beating the likes of like Cub Swanson was really his come out party, wasn't it? When he beat Cub Swanson, like a lot of people stood up and took notice of that fight more so. Like he'd had notable wins beforehand. But that was the real people like, ooh, Cub Swanson is our fucking Max Holloway is on a fucking tear. So again, I just think he's on an absolute charge, and I don't think Anthony Showtime Pettis is the man to stop him. He's like Dal Sim with the long limbs, and he uses them all beautifully. I'm a big fan of Max Holloway, and I think he will. He'll get it's five rounds, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think you'll get Pettis out of there in the ladder, bring him into the championship rounds, and get him done maybe around four or five.
I'd have to agree. I'm Holloway, decision Holloway, because I don't think Pettis has been the same fighter since he lost the lightweight title. He's improved a little bit in the last few fights, but as you said, he's just getting used to featherweights. I think Holloway beats him in every area. He's just too much a complete fighter at the minute, and I'd love to see Holloway fight for the actual title. So,
yeah,
he's my pick.
Yeah. I'm in agreement. I don't think there's anyone that would think otherwise. Holloway, for me, I think aside from McGregor and maybe Aldo, I think he might be the best featherweight out there, but that just depends. I don't know who I'd pick in the Aldo fight, and I'm not even sure who I'd pick in the McGregor fight. I think that Holloway has everything to, has all the tools to win there and beat Anthony Pettis. The problem with Pettis is he's a great kicker, but boxing-wise, he's not phenomenal, and sometimes he gets dragged into that boxing range where he can't really use his most effective weapons, and that's what I think Holloway is going to do. He's going to make a miss. He's going to be a lot quicker. I think, well, not a lot quicker, but he's going to be quicker. I think even size-wise, I think Holloway matches up pretty well with Pettis. Pettis was never the biggest lightweight, and even when he moved down to featherweight, not the biggest featherweight in the world, so I don't think size is going to be a problem. But I do think that Holloway is actually going to, he's going to finish this quite early. I think it's going to be in the second round, and I think he's going to, yeah.
We're gonna have to start dropping it. Hashtag win decisions, yeah.
I know, yeah.
Right, so what fight, looking at the card, what fight, apart from your two co-mains, your two main events, do you think is going to pop here?
Duho Choi, Cub Swanson, straight away. Third fight on the card. Duho Choi, he's like my favorite guy ever. That's all I'll say. He's just such a good fighter.
Replaces Yair Rodriguez.
Yeah, when he's fighting. Yeah. If they're on the same card, maybe not. But right now, yeah. But I love Duho Choi, and this is a great step for him because Cub Swanson, you know, he almost got to that pinnacle, just faltered a little bit, and now he's kind of sitting, kind of gatekeeper status, no disrespect. But I think it's a perfect opponent for Duho Choi to see what exactly he has in there. And if he manages to do what he does with everybody and finish Cub Swanson, that's a huge statement.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm looking forward to that fight as well. I think if he gets the win there, he's propelled himself into contention.
That's the thing. I know what you're saying, Rob, is in Cub has that sort of plodding forward sort of motion. He'll stand. He doesn't even plod forward. He roots himself when he's trying to throw big, and that'll play into Show's hands, I think. Yeah, again, it's a highlight fight. It was a bit of a no-brainer picking that one, in fairness, you bollocks. But,
I have yourself, more.
Well, yourself, so what are you looking at? Rob's.
I don't actually have the list of fights in front of me.
All right. I'll jump if you don't have them there. I want to see Kelvin Gastelum get his ass handed to him by the All-American, the superstar that is Tim Kennedy, because he messed up 205 for all of us, Kelvin Gastelum. The Nathan Cowboy not made way in and then fucking tweeting that he wasn't doing it. He deserves to get his ass whooped to him, and Tim Kennedy, they're sending the fucking Marines in to do it. So Kelvin Gastelum going to get annihilated and going to get beaten up for 3 rounds. He's just going to beat him up for 3 rounds, hopefully. But I do see a definite path to victory for Kelvin Gastelum in this fight. So I do think it's a good fight. It is going to be a good match of styles, I think. I think it is going to lead to potentially fireworks of a fight. I just hope Tim Kennedy beats the brakes off him just because what he done to me for 205. And Cowboy, just disgusting. But
I heard that Lockhart's in has travelled to Toronto to help him get his weight down or something. He might even make the weight.
If he doesn't make 85, that's his walking papers.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many times fight, though, done that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's three, four times. I can't remember, but
yeah,
three or four times. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I think that's a close fight, to be honest. I think Kelvin Gastelum was very, very good. Tim Kennedy, good fighter as well, very good all rounder. But
he hasn't been in there in a while.
Yeah, and I think that's a close fight. Going down the card, there's a couple of fights there that I'm very excited about. I'm looking forward to Jordan Mayne's comeback. Jordan Mayne's a very talented fighter. But one of the big ones that's jumping out for me there, just because I remember his last fight against Tony Ferguson very vividly right now. El Lando Calrissian Vanada.
Yeah.
Oh, what a man. Yeah. That guy coming back, and I can't wait to see what he looks like. There's a GIF that was put up on Reddit today. It's like Lando Vanada is Neo from Matrix, and it's just him against Tony Ferguson weaving against all the punches. I can't wait for that fight. And John McDessie as well. Good striker. They're going to stand and bang, as they say. And hopefully it's a good fight. But I can't wait to see what he looks like coming back after that fight against Ferguson, because that was a big test for him. And I think it stuck Rose even with a loss.
100%. He took that in short notice. He cut in and he was winning the fight right up until he got caught. And great fight. And I'm looking forward to that. Obi Mercier against Dober as well. It could be a good little digger match as well.
Yeah.
I just think like it's sort of got slated 206, especially since DC and Rumble Johnson got taken off. But I always say, there's some good fights on the card, you know?
Yeah, like if you mix some of those prelim fights with the main card, I think you have a great main card. Like if you push, I suppose, the Vanada fight, maybe the Rustam Khabibov fight, or the Misha Serkinov fight up, that's a really good main card. So just definitely some good fights there. 100%.
As well now, Valerie. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to mention Valerie Letourneau. She's desperate to get back and win in ways after losing her title shot. So that should be another good fight in the card.
Yeah.
Taking on an undefeated Brazilian as well. So big step up again. The UFC, check it out on your BT Sports, your Dodgy Boxes, your Modro streams. your pay-per-views if you're listening to us in the United States of America. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a great night of fights. As much as the card had its problems with injuries, it's still a good card there, you know. So Rob, this is your moment again to step up as Jimmy McGee, isn't it?
Jimmy McGee. No, it's more. What's the guy from Catchphrase?
Which one?
The old name dude is? From the old dude, yeah. With the Scottish accent. Doesn't matter. Or him.
It's not Scottish. It's Northern Irish.
Is it? I thought he was Scottish.
No, he's Northern Irish. Just before you go on there, Rob, did you know on Fight Star Ireland, they're actually currently having a Christmas competition?
Are they?
Yeah, they are giving away a set of Clito Reyes Mexican flag sparring gloves. Do you know how much they're worth?
How much are they worth?
They're worth $299.99. But you could be one lucky winner. I swear to God, Rob, I'm not even shitting you.
How do I win this?
What you need to do, Rob, is you need to go on to Fight Star Ireland on Facebook. You need to like, share, and comment below on the post. And you're in with a shout to win them. And one lucky winner will be picked on Christmas Day.
I've literally, as you were saying that, I've literally just done it right now.
There you go. And that's it. Again, at Fight Star Ireland. And while they're there, sure, you may as well stop and hit the shop button and have a look and see what's in store. Because Ireland, Fight Star Ireland is the fighter's choice. It's got everything you need under one roof. Lovely. So anyway, Rob, what were you saying about Tink? Go ahead there. I'm going to find out his name on Catchphrase because that's annoying me.
Yeah, well, we're going to play a game here that we came up with last week. And the premise of the game is that I ask you a couple of questions. Well, not even questions. I make a couple of statements and you just have to say if it's true or false. Last week, we went to a draw and we didn't have a tiebreaker. Let's hope we don't go to a draw again because I didn't make a tiebreaker again. So we'll start off.
Roy Walker was the presenter of Catchphrase.
Roy Walker.
Say what you see. Say what you see.
Yeah.
I remember.
We should do a MMA Catchphrase. That'd be MMA fun.
Go anyway, Rogan or something.
Yeah. So, question number one or statement number one. Known as, this is going to be difficult for Alistair because some of these questions are from, or statements are from quite a long time ago, but you can guess. Brad.
Known as 50% chance of getting it right, like
exactly. Yeah. Known as the Iron Man of MMA, Travis Fulton has over 300 pro fights in MMA. Is that a fact or is that fiction?
300 pro fights.
300 pro fights.
I find fiction. That incredibly hard to believe. Pro fights. So these would be licensed fights. I'd have to say fiction. That's too many. Jeremy Harm is a lunatic. Pro MMA or pro fights? Sorry.
Pro MMA fights.
Say fiction. Jesus, if he has, he's a fucking legend.
He's a tank.
Did you say fiction as well, Alistair?
Yeah.
That's actually a fact. According to Tapology, Travis Fulton has had 316 pro MMA fights, racking up 255 wins. And something to note, that's about 16 pro MMA fights per year beginning the start of his career. On average, how absolutely crazy is that?
That is madness.
Yeah, I don't even have 316 fights on all versions of UFC on PlayStation.
You play that quite a lot.
Yeah, I have no life. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's 0-0. Going into the second one. The late Kimbo Slice has had six children, and all six names start with the letter K. Fact or fiction?
That sounds like something Kimbo would fucking do, doesn't it?
Sounds like something Kimbo would do.
I know his younger son because he's an MMA fighter as well. But...
do you know his name?
Kimbo Slice Jr.
There's one.
But did he mention all of them?
I'm trying to think of six names beginning with K. So I'm going to go fiction because all I can think of is Keith and Kevin and Cueva. That's a C, isn't it?
That's a C.
I go fact.
Okay, drum roll. That's actually a fact. He has six kids names. Listen to these names: Kevin Jr., Kevin the Second.
Fuck off.
Wait for it. Kevlar.
Fuck right off.
Cassandra with a K. Kira and Kevina.
Kira's with a C.
No, Kira with a K.
Kimbo's a cunt. No, I won't say that, Kimbo. Rest in peace.
Imagine having a son named Kevin Jr. and Kevin the Second.
Now, I reckon what happened was he was doing the backyard brawls at the time, and he didn't have much money, and he just ran into a bookstore and ripped out a page from the baby names and thought, "We got fucking K, babe. We gotta make it."
Where did he come up with Kevlar?
Yeah, Kevlar. No, I know what happened. I'd say he had the first Kevin, and it was a disappointment. So it was like, "We need to do it again. It can't be my namesake one more time." And they went with Kevin Jr. That's my guess. So it's 1-0 to Alistair. Next question. Tank Abbott was the first fighter in the UFC to wear the 4-ounce MMA gloves that we know today. Fact or fiction?
That we know today. I think he was the first to wear a pair. But now you've given us two facts.
No, I'll rephrase it. Tank Abbott was the first MMA fighter in the UFC to wear the 4-ounce MMA gloves.
I'm trying to think back who was wearing gloves back in the day.
See, I can't do that.
I'm gonna go. You're going fact again. I'm gonna go fiction, just because I don't know. Okay. He was as much as it was early doors. It was earlier, and I reckon they could have wore gloves.
That is fiction. A guy called Melton Brown, who was, I think he might have been a boxer, I'm not sure. He was the first fighter to wear the 4-ounce gloves at UFC 4 against Steve Jenham. So that's a fiction. So it's 1-1.
Nice. Do you know when the Tank first donned them? Do you know that?
I don't.
All right.
Yeah.
Good fact.
But he was the first MMA fighter to wear them, like, regular occasion.
Yeah.
Next one up, we have mixed martial arts legend and all-around funny guy Bas Rutten has a decorated MMA career. However, he is not undefeated. But if the Shamrocks didn't exist, this is because his only losses are to the Shamrocks, Ken and Frank.
Fiction.
Do I copy you with your knowledge or?
Oh, I wouldn't believe my knowledge.
Was that knowledge or was that a guess?
I'll go fact. Keep it interesting.
That is fiction.
Yeah, I knew it was.
Do you know who else he lost against? No.
That's real. Let me think now. I think he's lost a few fights. I think he's lost three or four fights.
He has. He's lost a combined three times to the Shamrocks, but he also has one more loss, and that was to Funaki early in his career.
Yeah, I was going to say Japanese fighter.
Yeah. Funaki early in his career. So that's 2-1, is it?
2-1, yeah.
2-1.
Now 2-1 up, going into the next. The now former owners of the UFC, Zuffa's LLC name, isn't a random word. It actually means fight in Italian. Zuffa means fight in Italian. Fact or fiction?
Fuck. Alistair's in college. This cunt will know this. Zuffa.
That's a fact.
Fight. Now I'm going to go fiction. I don't think Zuffa means fight.
That's a fact. Zuffa means fight or scuffle in Italian. So it's 2-2.
And it's my going thinking was the fertitas were Italian, so I went for...
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. He was throwing that in to fucking just catch us out. Fucking hell. Something new every day.
Yeah. Next one. Two more questions left. It's 2-2, so somebody better take a lead.
So I'll be going down to the chipper next week going, bar sausage or old zoo for you.
Yeah.
Casual racism there.
Next up, Bruce Buffer's half brother and legendary boxing announcer Michael Buffer was the ring announcer for two UFC events. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
Fact.
That's a fact.
He left because he had to say it's not real fighting unless it's in the octagon.
Didn't know that one, but that's a good one to have as well. Michael Buffer served as the guest ring announcer for UFC 6 and UFC 7. Bruce Buffer debuted at UFC 10. So a little bit of nepotism there, was it?
Because at the time, Michael Buffer was announcing for amateur wrestling, as in like it wasn't WWE, but it was one franchise, whatever it was. And they weren't happy with him. saying it's not real unless it's in the octagon. And he was doing like two shows a month with the wrestling while he was only doing four shows a year with the UFC. So there you go.
Nice. Well done. So you knew that one. Last question. So it's 3-3 going into the last question. This is happening again. I'm going to think of a tiebreaker just in case. But last question is often called the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time. The idea of Fedor Emelianenko fighting at light heavyweight has been a dream for many fans of the sport. However, what people forget is that Fedor actually fought at light heavyweight once in his career. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
Ooh, pressure.
I was, my thinking on this was that in his younger days he was lighter, so he would have fought.
That was my thinking then.
But out of the fact of there has to be a winner, I think Fedor might have always been pudgy, and he was always like he was always built. So I'm gonna go for the sake of competition. If I had gone first, I would have said fact. Look, I'm already making a mistake in case I lose.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I just think another it was always John big Zambo. Is this MMA? You said MMA though, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll go fiction. Fuck it. For the winner, for the loss, I'll go fiction.
And your winner? Nolo Keith. That's fiction.
You've never thought. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. So we have a winner this time.
Magical, magical. Lovely. I thought I liked your take on Alistair. I was thinking down the same line, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I had gone first,
yeah. So Noel wins by technicality because he wasn't even going to go for that one. Unless.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had me big Irish balls had the courage to go for it.
Very nice.
So Alistair, for our listeners, tell us a little. Just we're wrapping up. So just tell us a little bit of Fight Star, what you do, where to check you out, all that, all your hashtag handles, Malark, all the stuff.
So you can follow us on Twitter at FSI_media, or on Facebook you can find us at Fight Star Media, or our website is www.fightstarmedia.ie, and we cover every single martial arts you can think of. We cover everything Muay Thai, MMA, boxing, everything.
Cratty.
And
you're a cratty there, dude.
I cover MMA and Muay Thai personally, so check me out, check my stuff out.
And again, Alistair, welcome back anytime. You've done well, right? You passed the test, you've done good. Rob, you find Rob at, geez, Rob, I can never remember your handle because you're a bit of a bore. But now, Rob, the Wewa contributor for Wewa TV.
D Robert Palin. With a THE.
At the Robert, is it? Yeah. THE?
THE.
There, Robert. Yeah. And I'm at NOK1980. You will find us at talk_fight. Again, MMA Mix for all your MMA needs are obviously good. Because we're obviously Fight Talk. I'm not giving you the fucking chance to mess it up. And again, Fight Star Ireland for all your fighters, everything a fighter needs, all under one roof. The fighter's choice, again, testicle holders. We'll explain what that is another day, that story. It's a funny story. So that's been it. Enjoy the hostilities, as Robin Black would say. Enjoy the fights. We'll see you all next week. Hopefully inside a new studio.
Ooh.
Upgrade.
Peace.
Upgrade. Cheers, man.